When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How's it hanging, ladies and folks? My name is Chris R.R. Balzo, and this is my show. You're about to hear the sixth chapter of my ongoing sword and sorcery sci-fi narrative. A story written, read, performed, and edited, all with your ear holes in mind. So don't even concern yourself with going back to catch up quite yet. Because this episode, like every episode, just so happens to be the perfect jumping on point. And then, once you're hooked, feel free to go back and check out the story thus far while you wait for the next one to drop. But for now, all I need you to do is sit back, relax, and allow me to unfurl the wizard scroll. Night fell quickly on Yrgsland's central hub for all things orc, the massive, sprawling capital city of Wangtown. A city exceedingly well guarded, surrounded on each flank by physical barriers both natural and man-made. Protected from the southern front by the Sausage Rock Mountains, the stone colossi that sat just two short exits beyond Wangtown's southern border. The ones that now hemorrhaged orcish workers, wangers if you will, clocking out after a long day in the mines digging up sausage rock. The sausage-shaped, and by proxy rather phallic mineral that had been used as a natural aphrodisiac since the Bone Age, the Age of Boning. Ever since George Wangtown, the founding father of Wangtown himself, first crushed up and snorted a sausage rock to see what would happen, orcs, humans, elves, goblins, and all the other wacky races out there had taken up Wangtown's age-old tradition whenever they needed to up their game in the bedroom. And since it was such a hot item, sausage rock was Wangtown's primary export after all, thousands upon thousands of orcs were needed to work the mines on a daily basis just to meet demand. But now, with twilight just starting to coat the city in a deep shade of orange, those very miners left in droves from the caves, sweaty, exhausted, and desperate to go home to plow their sexy orc wives. Or husbands, we ain't judging here. The city was guarded from an eastern assault by the Orc-Lantic Ocean, the briny blue depths beyond the docks, which hundreds of fishing boats now return to from out past the horizon. Boats full to bursting with orcish fishermen as they scramble to dock their ships, to salt and store the day's haul, and to return home to plow their sexy orc wives or husbands. While in the shadow of the northwest wall, the gargantuan barrier of stone and mortar that staved off invaders from each of the remaining cardinal directions. The hustle and bustle of the normally sardine-packed Wangtown Square slowly wound down as well. As one by one, the merchants and traders, the ones who lined the streets and occupied those mud brick buildings, as they too hurried through their nightly preparations. Only after they pocketed their coin and packed their wares into bags and bindles did they close up shop and go home for the evening to plow their sexy orc wives or husbands. By the time the sun had set completely, the only orcs who hadn't gone home to their spouses were the ones who had yet to marry and the ones who had no home. As such, the buzz of activity in the densely populated coastal-slash-mining city of Wangtown was reduced to the drunken, riotous din of single orcs migrating from one tavern to another in search of a quick nut, along with the insane ramblings of a single, crazed homeless guy in a tinfoil hat standing atop an overturned crate in the center of town.
Orkazi was an inside job. The Elf Illuminati is among us. Ork Bomba is a lizard person.
Log off of four charms, you clod.
You fool! Soon you shall see the error of your ways. The 5G chemtrails are in the water supply. Jeffrey Orkstein is still alive! He's still doing his thing! But now he's operating out of a bunker in the middle of town, right beneath our noses!
Enough with the fake news, Grandpa.
This is why your kids never owl express your postcards or nothing.
What seems to be the problem here, gentlemen?
Oh, thank goodness. The coolest heck orange paladins, or chops for short, are here. These two ne'er-do-wells just attacked me for speaking the gods' green truth. Surely you'll put them in their place. Oh! Oh, God! Oh, you're brutalizing me! You're supposed to be hitting them, not me! Oh! Oh! Ooh! Ow! My ticket balls! Ah! Is there no freedom of speech in this goddamn shit-ass town anymore? I know my rights! I thought this was Ork America!
This is Wayne Town, you fucking idiot!
Let's shove him in that conveniently placed dumpster.
And lo, after they had bludgeoned the old man into unconsciousness, they did just that. Your ass just got canceled, you frick-frackin' four! When all of a sudden, the dumpster lid slammed shut straight on the orc's cranium. And let's just say his tinfoil hat did very little to protect his skull, as it was shattered on impact. Yep. We just witnessed a murder, ladies and folks, and the paladins, they were in on it. It was corrupt as a butt out here, and everyone knew it. But still, fuck that guy. Maybe state violence is justified? Aside from chugging piss wine with the boys at a seedy bar, or assaulting the elderly, the most popular activity during a hot, steamy summer night such as this had to be boning at the top of Anal Peak. One by one, couples of orcs would haul their mattresses by wagon up the winding, sloped road, up to the hilltop, where they would all find a parking spot and perform the orcish race's most sacred dance, the horizontal mamba, under the stars. Greg Ork's olive green, burly frame dripped sweat from every pore as he too heaved his carriage, along with the tipsy female orc it contained, up the hill, to the peak of Anal Peak. But unlike the rest of his kin, the scores of orcs already atop the hill, already in the throes of that sausage rock-fueled ritual, this was his first time making the trek. That's right, he was on his maiden voyage, if you will. His V-card was unpunched. He hasn't fucked anyone. So when his parents had retired for the night, he pilfered the keys to his father's 6869 Wood Camaro, the one with the words, "The Fornicart," painted across the side in faded red ink. He had stolen the very wagon that he, as well as his father before him, were both conceived in. He grabbed the sluttiest, most horrid, most desperate female he could find on such short notice, and now he struggled to push them both up the gravelly hillside to the horny mecca that was Anal Peak.
Greg Ork, could you move any slower?
Jess Orca Orkley, the fat, ugly cousin of the most popular girl at Ork J. Simpson Community College, groaned between swigs of piss wine straight from the goon bag.
You know, we would have gotten here much quicker if you had gotten your fat green ass out here and helped me push.
I literally just told you, babe, like 5 minutes ago. I can't steer from back there, now can I? Sheesh, it's like it's your first time or something.
Oh yeah, put it in me.
As Greg Ork's cart finally rolled over the lip of the hill, his eyes and ears were overtaken with the sights and sounds of riotous boning taking place all over the goddamn place. Juicy Streets by Nenor started to play from the ether, a truly sexy backdrop that did little to drown out the noise of those countless pairs of love-making orcs, all going buck nasty in every pose known to orc manity, and even some poses known only by dolphins. Poses including, but not limited to, the orc screw, the soggy muffin, the floppy fish fleshlight, the centaur and reverse centaur respectively, and perhaps the most carnal of them all, missionary.
Hey, right there, there's a spot over yonder.
Yeah, I see it. About damn time. Now I can finally...
Thanks for the parking spot, dork!
God darn it, Kevin. Can't you see I'm trying to park there?
Yeah, That's why I took the spot. I'm a bully. I'm bullying you right now.
Kevin, my tits are out. Are you ready or what?
Hold on, babe. I'm totally still bullying this dweeb. As I was saying, you suck. You're a cuck. And you're probably still a virgin.
Oh, no. I'm sensitive about that.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, dork. Ha, ha. God, I love being a bully.
You know what, Kevin? Suck on D's.
He said as he violently rammed the Forna cart into Kevin's cart, which in turn bumped into another cart, and so on and so forth until the carriage at the end of this lineup rolled off the precarious cliff nearby. It then crashed straight through the roof and bedroom floor of some guy's house, and its two passengers were killed instantly upon impact.
Hey! Knock it off, you crazy kids! I'm trying to fork my sexy orc wife in here, and all of a sudden in comes a forking wagon crashing through my roof and such! Karen, we're moving again!
No one cared.
Hey, Grigork, come check out this beautiful view.
Whoa, you can see the whole city from up so high. There's the Sausage Rock Mountains, the Northwest Wall, there's Wangtown Square over there, the docks, and would you look at the way the moonlight reflects off the Orklantic Ocean? I can almost smell the sea from here.
What are you talking about? I meant this view, silly.
Jess Orca took Gregork's entire pudgy head in her calloused, enormous hands and turned his face toward herself as she seductively bit her lip. Then she panned his gaze down to the very source of that salty, fishy scent of the sea. Right betwixt her very thighs. But with her meaty hands still grappled around his face, Jess Orca leaned in for a sloppy, spit-swapping kiss. She practically shoved her barbecue ranch-covered tongue down his throat as he struggled to keep up, trying in vain to wrap his brain around his situation as Jess Orca wrapped her tongue around his own. After a good 17 minutes of this, of what Gregor could only have described as an experience, she finally released her grip, released Gregor from her clutches, and the orc fought to catch his breath as she looked sexily at him from her side of the mattress. She eyed the dick print in the crotchal region of Gregor's hemp trousers, licking her lips as she unbuttoned her top and allowed Gregor to bury his face into her chest. Pawing at those colossal Triple H hangers with the enthusiasm and curiosity of a newborn puppy as he licked the green crust from the crevice between them. Oh my god, who wrote this fucking... Oh, I'm gonna be sick. Oh god.
It was at this point in the story that the unsavory sights and smells of this setting caused the narrator to pass out. So, we hired a mime to interpret the rest of Greg Ork and Jessorka's activities.
The fucked.
Dude, what the fuck's going on, man? The IRS is outside. They want your cock.
Ricardo, get in here.
Cock!
Would you mind please explaining what exactly is going on here?
Cock!
What do you mean you opened a merch store? What are you even selling?
Cock!
Wow, that's a lot of high quality merch. You're saying t-shirts, hoodies, pins, mugs, steel water bottle containers, mouse pads, and more to come?
Cock!
All at a smoking price, might I add. How are you even gonna make money, Ricardo?
Cock!
I see. And all this is for sale on thewizardscrollshop.forthwall.com? Okay, somebody's still gotta get rid of the IRS, and I'm not doing it this time.
There he is!
It was my chicken! It was my chicken!
That's what they all say! Seize him, boys!
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, but look!
What in the land of whimsy is this? Bumble Fluff asked, eyeing the dish with skepticism. Zogglewump grinned mischievously. Behold, my friend, I present to you Purple Grump with Spam. Bumble Fluff recoiled. Purple Grump with Spam? What the fork and knife is that? It sounds peculiar. Zogglewump nodded enthusiastically. Oh, but try it, Bumble Fluff, try it. You may find that Purple Grump and Spam is the most delightful dish in all of Quirkville. Real shit?
Indeed, Mr. President.
Kiddos, I guess we'll have to finish this here story another time. I have some presidential duties to attend to. Now, if you'll excuse me.
My fellow wangers, I stand before you today with a heavy heart and heavy balls, unrelated. We find ourselves facing a threat unlike any we have seen since the Skellinom War nearly 50 years ago. The Lich Queen is back, and she has brought a 200,000 Skellaman army to our humble burg of Wangtown. Even now, they make advances toward our mighty northwest wall, backlit by the rising sun. But let me be clear. We proud orcs shall not give in. We shall not give up. The only thing we shall give them is one heck of a fight. Because the spirit of Wangtown has always been defined by resilience, courage, and unity. Today, we must draw upon that spirit like never before. The time has come for us to stand together as a city, shoulder to shoulder, and confront this bone horde head on. In this moment of darkness, I call upon every able-bodied orc to join the fight. Grab whatever you can find. Spatulas, garden gnomes, your grandma's urn, and let's show those bony invaders that the power of the people has always been the beating heart of our dim democracy. We will not let the darkness of tyranny extinguish the light of freedom today. Nay, when we look back upon this fateful day, we shall remember it as our Orc Pendants Day. Thank you and gosh bless. Orkbama out.
The thrall of bone and steel had arrived. Countless maniples of skeletal archers, footsmen, and clerics who stormed ahead, amped to mete out death to the orcs' last line of defense. The brave souls who had answered President Orkbama's call to action. The men, women, and others who had taken up arms, who had outfitted themselves with anything they could get their hands on in a desperate, last-minute gambit to defend their home. For a time, that's exactly what they did. The orcs, though most were lacking in the formal training of their elite, orange-tunic counterparts, the chops who struck the Skellamen down again and again with their shockingly effective nightsticks, the average schmoes managed to defend the wall from those skeletal warriors, having more than enough brute strength and sheer tenacity to spare. Despite still being outnumbered 7-1, they beat back that bony horde with a swiftness and efficiency that almost made it seem like a fair fight. A hulking green orc clad in a dozen sweaters led the charge. He barreled straight through 10 Skellamen at once, a perfect strike, unharmed, without so much as a scratch on him. Though in his wake, along with a decently sized pile of scattered bones, were his top two layers of sweater, torn asunder by the swords and spear points he had just run through.
Oh, I ain't gonna hear the end of this,
he figured as he scooped up a Skellaman's discarded warhammer, as he bashed a couple skulls in with its hefty iron head, as a single stray arrow to the forehead brought him crashing down to the blood-soaked earth below. Dead. Meanwhile, an orc in his miner's uniform and matching headlamp helmet swung his pickaxe through Skellamen like he was back in the mountains.
There be bones in them there bones,
he roared as he meted out re-death out upon those skeletal warriors as they shattered into pieces and clattered to the ground all around him. However, due to several decades breathing in all those harmful cave fumes, this rampage did not last long. As he spontaneously had a dick attack and died right there on the battlefield. A bearded orc wearing a raincoat and captain's hat sliced through Skellamen left and right with a swordfish. deftly blocked blow after blow with the manta ray he had strapped to his arm. And this man would live to tell the tale.
So there I was, surrounded on all sides by Skeleman warriors. I got nothing but a swordfish in one hand and a manta ray in the other. But I started slashing, dashing, and skele-smashing. I was sliding around the poop deck, laddie, and I played a Skeleman like a xylophone so hard I hit the brown note and made all the other Skeleman shit themselves. And one was like, oh my god, I didn't even know I could shit, I didn't even know I had those organs still. You know what I fucking said to him? Nothing. I just skewered his fucking head with a swordfish and then kicked his ass off the deck. You ain't pooping on my deck, you skele bitch.
Anyway, the local bartenders, on top of lobbing Molotov cocktails into the fray and pouring alcohol onto the wounds of the injured, they finally put to good use all the random shit they had decorating their bar walls. A baseball bat signed by Aaron Smudge himself swung with malice through a Skeleman's waiting skull. A framed portrait of Moose Springsteen deftly strapped to a taint for protection. A plastic replica of an axe harmlessly bouncing off the Skeleman's bony bodies wherever it made contact. And a real axe accidentally lodged into its user's own chest, among an etcetera's worth of others. Greg Ork had become a man last night. As such, he too was compelled to answer Ork Bama's call of duty. So he reported to the local chop station to be outfitted for battle.
Hey kid, you sure look like you're stroking a lot.
How do they know? Is it because of my one super jacked arm? That's probably it.
Come with us, pun intended.
Great Goblin Jesus, the boy's a natural. The RPM on that trigger finger is unmatched in all the land.
By your Squanktown's balls, you're right. I've never seen anyone fire up that many shots in a row without needing a gate rail break.
Indeed. Greg Ork blasted cannonballs down into the fray from above, from within one of dozens of cannonball turrets lining that great wall, tasked with providing suppressing fire for the men on the ground, the ones who fought and died and rose once again as purple haze seeped up from the ground. He watched in horror as more and more of his fellow orcs, his brothers in arms, were chopped down and reformed from the ground up as they were impressed into service by the enemy and subsequently turned on their living orc brethren. But Greg Ork stayed true. He continued to blow those bony bodies the fuck up. Skelemen and zombified orcs alike blasted to bloody bits before they could barrage Wangtown proper. He aimed and fired his shots perfectly, again and again, obliterating at least a dozen undead abominations with each explosive blast.
Boom shakalaka.
The young orc's firm grip on the lever tightened as he masterfully tugged that thing to and fro all throughout the morning.
Sir, the Skelemen have stopped attacking.
What? Let me see. Oh my. It seems one of them has formed a T-shape with its skeletal arms.
It appears they have requested a ceasefire. What shall we do, Mr. President?
Well, I don't know about you two, but I could use a quick lunch break.
Roger, roger!
Greg Ork's mind raced with snapshots of the carnage that he himself had wrought upon the battlefield, obliterating Skelemen and zombified orcs alike, converting all who fell betwixt his crosshairs into bloody giblets and scattered bones. He knew what he was doing was right, but still he could not stop his mind from playing back every bloody detail, just like an episode of The Wizard Scroll on your podcatcher of choice. Anyway, he managed to wolf down his bologna and cheese sandwich, apple slices, and juice box before returning to his station. But upon looking out from his turret unto the horizon, he was aghast to spot the trebuchets. Those dread contraptions that had sat ominously motionless in the back of the undead's formation thus far, but now were prepped for launch.
Uh-oh.
He watched in confusion as round after round of blood-red bones were hurled into the air, piecing themselves together as they flew, such that the newly formed Skellamen could vault clear over the wall and pelt the city of Wangtown from above. And with all the city's fighting fit citizens preoccupied on the outside of the wall, there was little that the women, children, elderly, and infirm within the city's limits could do to stop this aerial assault. Nay, those unfortunate souls were sent scrambling from their homes, helpless to stop these elite Skellamen, the Skullites, if you will, as they easily seized control of the city. Anal Peak, Wangtown Square, and just about everywhere in between was teeming with these blood-red Skullites, who made short work of binding the citizens in chains, commandeering carts and carriages of all kinds, and hauling said citizens off to either be worked to death in the mines or sold to the highest bidder. All of this went on as Gregork reached for another pair of cannonballs to load into his weapon. But as he made to stretch his one super muscular arm back and grab some from the big pile directly behind him, to take some up in his large meaty hands and load them into the ballsack-shaped chamber of his turret, the door to his battle station flung off its hinges, and in swaggered a hulking silhouette, backlit by the harsh afternoon sun.
Put me in the cannon, boy!
Gregork did a septuple take as that Herculean frame and the highly decorated plate armor that covered it from shining head to gleaming toe strode into view. Here came an orc that Gregork knew well. Commander of the Chops, sword-wielding slayer of evildoers, dick-wielding slayer of mad stank puss, and an all-around cool dude.
Uncle Fuck You, what are you doing here?
He asked as he watched his beloved uncle hurl himself into the barrel of Gregork's cannon turret.
Fire it up, boy! There's no time to explain! They need me down there ASAP, like Rocky!
Holy shit, what? No, you'll die on impact, are you insane?
But Commander Fuck You, with the entirety of his massive form squeezed into that cramped cannon, with the sword now strapped to his back, poking several yards outward toward his zenith, and with the fires of determination burning brightly in his eyes, he craned his head out and looked right back at him with the stare of someone with zero forks left to give. His eyes locked with Gregork's own as he spoke once more.
Like a motherforking fox I am, kid.
Commander Fuck You burst from the cannon and into the air, flying at the speed of sound as his booming, triumphant voice echoed throughout the entire city.
Looks like Bones are back on the menu, boy!
He flew in a perfect arc through the air, the spectacle drawing the attention of Orc and Skellamen alike. They even ceased fighting, ever so briefly, to watch. Commander Fuck You, as he soared into the fray with the majesty and grace of a dragon in high heels.
Your... could it be?
The swordfish-wielding orc from before squinted his one good eye as he looked up and saw... hope. Saw the majesty that was Fuck You's prodigious, bulky frame. A plate mail-coated titan who shone like an orc-shaped disco ball as he blotted out the sun.
It really do be!
The dying orc with an axe stuck through his chest pointed upwards as he answered with glee.
Commander Fuck You is here to save the day!
The orc's thunderous applause greeted the coming of their savior as he rose ever further into the sky, as he reached the apex of his flight. But after his ascent into the sky above the battlefield, it ceased, when there was only one way left for him to go. The kicking, flailing form of Commander Fuck You entered into a freefall. He plummeted from the sky faster than the limp dick-raided men plummeted to 0% following the discovery of Sausage Rock. Then he died instantly upon impact with the ground, leaving naught behind but a big red stain in the earth. War is heck, you know? Fuck, man. Thanks for tuning in to me screaming about wizards for a half hour. If you're still here, odds are that you enjoyed it and are waiting with bated breath for more. Well, fear not, dear listener, because you don't have to wait long to hear that next installment. 1 week, to be precise. So, while you wait on that, feel free to regale yourself with all the previous episodes of the show. There's plenty of Wizard Scroll goodness sitting there to keep you busy until next week's tale drops. But let's say, hypothetically, you've already listened to everything I have to offer across both of my podcasts. I have two podcasts, by the way.
Nice.
And are bored out of your gourd waiting for more. To that I say, damn, Slun! Thanks for enjoying it that much. But what if I told you, you could gain instant, sneak premiere-style access to my content before anyone else? All you gotta do is head on over to patreon.com/thewizardscroll and pledge a small monthly donation to the show. Once you do that, you'll be able to listen to 107, 108, and beyond right this very second. Listen to them out of order if you want. I'm not your dad. But anyway, word of mouth is how this show can continue to grow. So share the shit out of it with everyone you know. And until next Saturday...
Mr. Orc President, Wangtown has fallen.
All according to plan.
Yes, I'm afraid we... Wait, what do you mean, all according to plan?
Plot twist, I was a lizard person the whole time! Sayonara, suckers!
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
So this is the end of the world. Pretty weird, right? I'm Hannah. I'm sure you've probably noticed by now. I'm a zombie. Might even be the last one.
From the creator of Redman Born and Cybernautica.
I can't exactly control most of the things zombie me does. I'm basically what amounts to a backseat driver in my own body. You learn to kind of just go with it after a while, I think. Like, do I feel bad for eating a family of four when I was new? You bet. Not exactly my favorite memory.
Hannah is living her best unlife, while unknowingly being on a crash course with Callie, an explorer desperately seeking to leave her mark on an American wasteland that seems to be all out of new discoveries.
Oh, one might say that it's the comics that got me into this, but between you and me, I'm gonna blame the McSodas. No sense in ruining everything I like in one day.
Together, this unlikely pair team up against the dangers of post-apocalyptia.
Okay. This thing is not playing around at all. Shit, incoming!
Sometimes I miss the old days. Killing zombies for upstart communities, now that was a lot more simple. A lot more ethical, too. Wouldn't you say so? Don't you think it's a little more ethical to kill a zombie than just some stranger on the road?
Panapocalypse, a story about love, death, and robots. Just not the Netflix kind.